The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
All right, good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson, and my co-host, Pat Kane, who will be dancing in the studio any minute now. We have a great show this morning. We have Patty Morrison, who is the candidate for Commissioner of Finance in the election on November 5th here in Saratoga Springs. We've got a lot to go over this morning, so stay with us because there's so much information should open people's eyes about what's going on here in this election. So right now I'm going to welcome on the show Patty Morrison. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning.
I'm going to let you get set up a little bit more with your information there, but a couple of the things we're going to talk about this morning is tax increase, the hospital expansion, the money flowing into the campaigns, and who's flowing the money into the campaigns. And I want to talk about, if I said hospital expansion, and some other issues that there's some discrepancies about that Commissioner Madigan has stated in the past and what she's stating now. So we got a great show, a lot of information, as I said. So going to close the studio door now, and I'm going to welcome Patty here. Good morning, Patty. How are you?
I'm good. Thank
you.
Hey,
walking the doors, and you got a lot of feedback. But first of all, I just want you to give a brief explanation about yourself, okay?
Yeah, great. So I'm Patty Morrison. For those of you who haven't heard about me, I am running for Commissioner of Finance here in the city of Saratoga Springs. I currently serve on the school board, and I have 25 years of business experience. I am a graduate of Marist College, which is about 3.5-4 hours from here. I always went from Albany, so it was
really
an hour and a half. Oh no, it's only a couple hours from here. So I am a big outdoor individual who does skiing in the winter and hiking and biking and camping in the summer. So I love this area for all that it offers. I've been a rower over at the Skidmore Rowing Club, and I have my own canoe, so I'm very I embrace this area. I also do volunteer work with League of Women Voters. I'm a Soroptimist. I do volunteer work with Sustainable Saratoga, which I'd like to give a plug out to. Mm-hmm. They're a great partnership to have in this community. They do a lot of great work for us, and I can't say enough things. It's organizations like that you dovetail into that really add so much value to our community. So I am excited to run and serve after knocking on 3,000 doors. A lot of the reason that I got involved in this race, number one, was the lack of choice that we have at the ballot box. That is just, it is not good for the community to have the same politicians in office year in and year out, and I'm hearing that at the doors. And one of the other things that elections do, especially when you have a primary, and I have a great example when I was at they hold elected officials accountable. So I'm at a door last night, and this woman, unprompted by me, she went off. She's like, Paris Agreement? We're signing a Paris Agreement when we're building all this concrete around us and parking garages. So we don't even have recycling down in downtown. You know, and after 8 years in office, I'm sorry, this should be the basics that we're doing. And so these things are starting to come forward. We still, and quite frankly, like the Code Blue, I don't ever recall my opponent ever getting engaged in Code Blue prior to this election, quite frankly.
And they've had, and she's had plenty of opportunity to do so, but it seems that at election time, they used the keywords Code Blue, EMS station on the Eastern Plateau, and taxes, and then during the rest of their term, they just forget about all that stuff and just toot their horn on all the stuff that they're doing great.
Just before you get away from recycling, Mrs. Madigan has volunteered or signed up for do a pilot program for recycling. She signed up first in 2013, and this most recently this year with Scirocco. The two of them have said they want to be, you know, heading up this recycling program. Both times they've done nothing. So again, kind of to your point about those ladies wondering about the Paris Accord, and when we can't even get a recycling program in our downtown. They don't even recycle in City Hall.
That's Patty, you forgot one important thing when you were talking about, you know, your history, that you are on the school board in Saratoga Springs, which is an important position to hold. And you had stated that if you or when you win the election, that you will give up your board seat.
So the way it works is I will have my seat all the way through until January 1st. On January 1st, I will hand in my resignation to the school board, and then I will take my oath of office. Mm-hmm. The school board can do one or two things with my position. They will either leave it blank until the election in May, or they will fill it with someone who has experience. I mean, this is all up to the school board to decide. They have a policy, and these are the two paths with in that policy that they would follow.
Sorry about that. You want to dance?
Yeah, really.
You know, one of the things, and maybe you guys have already talked about this, I'm sorry for showing up late here, but campaign finance, it is unbelievable. I was noticing the article in Saratoga today, and the numbers that they have are, I don't know when they got them, but they were like 4 months ago. Because, you know, most of the, like your opposition has nearly $50,000. And you can see it because her signs have littered the countryside. And it's amazing how much money is being spent on these campaigns. And then when you look at the people who are financing this committee, it is staggering. It's, you know, so, yeah.
One of the things, Patty, and I wanted to just dovetail on what Pat said, was there's a difference between, there's a stark difference between your donation and donations and Madigan's incoming donations. And I just want to read some things that I put down here. I think that you've raised probably around $16,000. 99.5% are from independent donations, $100 or less. I just want to read a few of the donors from Michelle Madigan to show you the difference between your donations that you're bringing in from individuals, no corporations or builders, and hers. And this is where a conflict comes in, I feel. She's got the builders, UA Plumbers and Pipe Fitters PAC, $2,500. The U.S. Steam Fitters PAC, $1,000. The U.S. Plumbers PAC, $500. The Political Education PAC, $1,000. The IOUE Local PAC, $1,000. The Political Action PAC from Hanover, Maryland, $1,000. The New York State Pipe Trades, $1,000. The Northeast Government Council at $550. And now Builders and Developers, Saratoga Builders Association, $1,000. B&B Plumbing, $500. Tom Newkirk, who was just granted earlier in the year an opportunity to build 59 apartments on Broadway on a 3/4 acre plot of land. Angelo Carbone, the CEO of Saratoga Hospital, $300. Matt Jones, the attorney for the Saratoga Hospital expansion, $1,000. Peter Belmonte, $250. Bonaccio Jr., $250. And the list goes on of these builders and contractors. And as I said, you have one donation from Capital Women Political Action Group for $1,000. Everything under that are personal donations, $100 or less, and you have very few $100 donations, but they're misrepresenting the amounts of money campaigns are taking in. I think in the paper they had Madigan as taking in $20,000. When it's well over 45, and she just had a couple new donations that she filed last week, $1,000 from the PBA and $1,000 from another union builders PAC. What do you have to say about this?
Yeah, you just have to follow the money, and there's tens of thousands of dollars really coming in. Right now, there is, I just added it up, I think the total number, and this was as of October 4th, so there's still money coming in that's not added into this figure, but she's up to $48,000. And I would say 60% or more of the dollars that are coming in from development, developers, or special interest. I'm seeing just rough figures, about $30,000. Of the 48,000 is from the developers and specialists. Sorry about that, folks.
No, you're okay.
Moving the mic around. So there is a large amount of money coming in, and then we also have money coming in from the Independence Party. All these mailers that she has coming out are all hosted and sponsored by the Independence Party, so we don't really know how the money is flowing through the Independence Party into that. So there, and I will note that after I won the primary is when all this money started to flow in big time. So there is definitely an initiative, an effort to support my candidate from the developer and special interest side of the house. So it's kind of fascinating to see. They didn't file a report in July, so they did the 32-day report in the end of September, and that's where you can start seeing all this this money coming in.
Mm-hmm. One of the campaign contributions are out. Out the side, the box, I feel. One of the things that over the summer you had brought to the attention of the Ethics Committee, just this problem about the involvement of the attorney for the hospital expansion, which I see that you're not for, and your opponent is.
To clarify that, Rick.
Go ahead.
It's not the way to say it.
Okay.
Okay. We're all about having a hospital that can expand, that can do the business that it needs to serve the community. So there are ways for this hospital to do business. I am concerned about the neighborhood, mm-hmm. and what is going to happen with the green space there. That process was deeply broken from the beginning, and I would like the hospital to be vibrant and serve the community in the way that we need it to serve. However, I believe there's other ways for them to expand, mm-hmm. without expanding on that piece of property, and that's the conversation that needs to happen.
Okay.
So I just want to be very clear. I'm not anti the hospital.
No. I know you're not. Okay. But how do you feel about the rezoning of the property to allow residential units on the property, which will be tax-free because that's a nonprofit. The hospital's a nonprofit. How do you feel about changing the zoning?
Yeah, I think this just points to the process is broken and how things get done here. Mm-hmm. And I live over by Railroad Run, which has also, that piece of property was also up to be rezoned from a residential type zoning to a commercial zoning. And I found out about that because all my neighbors were up in arms, and that's how it was brought to my attention. Again, we weren't notified. I fundamentally believe that we need to change the code, the way code is written, so that we can better notify folks in advance when something like this comes forward. And with the Railroad Run piece of property, it seems like that has tampered down, that probably won't get rezoned. I don't have all the details on that. And my understanding is it's because someone in my neighborhood is connected down at City Hall. And fundamentally, I don't get on board with that. While I like the outcome of it not being rezoned to commercial, that's great for me. The way that in which this is happening is inappropriate. You shouldn't have to know someone down at City Hall for the city to do the right thing. This can happen in any neighborhood. And fundamentally, we have codes and processes written. We need to improve how they are serving the community and better notify and engage the community. And it shouldn't be who you know down at City Hall, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. So again, just to straighten me out, because I did phrase it the wrong way, hospital expansion is good. There are alternatives that the hospital can do.
Build up.
And I have no clue, right? Build out. They have enough property on their campus. But I know we have the Morgan Street group on here, and both Mayor Kelly and Michelle Madigan, the current commissioner, had gone 2 years ago into their neighborhoods telling them that they are not for disrupting the neighborhoods over there. And this year, when asked at a debate, Mayor Kelly said, well, they have to stick with the comprehensive plan. And Michelle Madigan said, yeah, she is for the rezoning and the use of the property. When D.A. Collins sold the property to the hospital, and he was a big contributor to Michelle Madigan's campaign. That's the fundamental problem I have with all of this. There's the attorney for the hospital who held a fundraiser for the commissioner. The CEO of the hospital is a big contributor to her campaign. And people just don't seem to see what the hookup is here and the connection with the donations she's getting from the builders, contractors, and all the unions that work with the building and contractors. And this change of opinion really baffles me. You've been over in Morgan Street. Have you been getting a lot of feedback, like that when they were on the show, that they're really surprised about how they changed their tune?
Yes. So, frankly, I know in this election cycle that my opponent has met with the doctor's leadership for the hospital and has already explained where she sits on the vote. I know in the last election, our current mayor was looking to help the neighborhood protect, and now her response is different. And quite frankly, it is very, you do have to have the zoning maps match the comprehensive plan. However, what happened with the comprehensive plan back in 2015, there's a lot of, and I don't want to get mired down in the details here today, but there's a lot of things that didn't go right back in 2015. So just rubber stamping and aligning today's zoning map with the comprehensive plan, because that's really what has to happen. The left side of the page has to match what's written on the right side of the page. The two have to line up. So if you go down and you go, oh, parcel X is zoned as residential or institutional on the comprehensive plan, the zoning map says residential. Oh, we have to update the zoning map. It is it's very straightforward now, because that's where we're at. But the problem is how we got here there's a lot of problems with how we got here. So I fundamentally think we need to pull that out and we need to have a different discussion. I don't even believe the proper feasibility study was done with traffic and the such. So, and that's where I sit with that.
One of the things that's been bothering a lot of people too, I mean, I get feedback on our Talk Saratoga page, is the tone of the campaign. You are the Democratic endorsed candidate. You beat the commissioner in a Democratic primary, and it was the largest voter turnout in any primary in the history of Saratoga. But yet she tries to demean you. I mean, she's in these third world country parties that she was endorsed in that have given her quite a bit of money. What do you think she's been saying some pretty bad things about you. You've held your above level during this campaign. Your campaign's been about issues, where it seems you've been being attacked personally. I mean, you're a very well-qualified candidate. Obviously, you went to the citizens before the primary, explained your positions, and they decided that what they heard is what they wanted. What do you think about the way the things that she's attacking you on?
I kind of ignore it, in a sense, but... Yeah, there's been some personal attacks. I think it's really inappropriate. I've been called a walking zombie. I guess I'm dating someone. I think those are really inappropriate, and people don't care, quite frankly. So I don't get engaged in that.
Well, your opponent has a documented history of just some very erratic behavior, whether it be at the city council table, in some of the establishments downtown. Recently, I saw her at the League of Women Voters debate, where I think many of us felt that maybe she might have been under the influence of something because of her manic behavior. And then most recently at Skidmore. I mean, it's just incredible how this woman's behavior is so unprofessional, and then continually running for office and these documented episodes just seem to be, just huge violations of what the public trust is all about. She's really, I believe, been all over the spectrum as far as her behavior is concerned. And it's embarrassing as a member of the public to see her behave like that. I mean, you see it. I mean, these city council meetings are televised. And to see her just berate people, threaten to throw them out of the chambers where they have city council meetings, it's just over the top. And I just hope at some point she gets help for this behavior, because it's certainly not normal. And certainly not professional. And for her to represent the city of Saratoga Springs in that kind of fashion is just terrible, just absolutely terrible. And I hope that she does get some help and is able to deal with that. I mean, she attacks people on Facebook. There's a tremendous amount of things that are going on. Most recently, she attacked the owner of Ciro's, and you were having a fundraiser there, and she... She made no bones about it that she was disappointed and that she's going to remember this and she's not going to let this episode go unnoticed. Well, the fact of the matter is she's a public official and she's supposed to treat everyone special and or fairly. And her treatment of people on Facebook is terrible. And again, you know, now we've got social media, we've got city council meetings, we've got League of Women Voters things and Skidmore most recently. When does this woman's behavior ever come into question?
Okay, so I'll comment on a few of those items. I personally don't feel comfortable even saying these things. Like, I fundamentally stand on my values and my how I present myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's uncomfortable for me to have a dialogue about someone else's presentation of themselves, although I am a constituent myself, and I personally at the League of Women Voters do not care for how I was approached by my opponent after the debate. I find it unprofessional, and I am a constituent. So when you're holding public office at all times, when you're in the public eye, you need to be acting professionally. I will tell you, I was taken off guard at the League of Women Voters because she outwardly misrepresented the facts when it came to the resolution that the city did asking the school board to revote. She insisted that the resolution was about funding for more SRO officers. And I have a copy, and I wish I had it with me at the debate, but I have a copy and I will put it up on my Facebook page and on my website. And first of all, quite frankly, this school safety resolution should never have been brought forward by the city council. That was a complete crossover outside of their boundaries. Can you imagine if the school board asked the city council to revote on something? That fundamentally is just out of line, and everybody knows that. So let's start there. It should not have happened. We did reach out to the city council, we being the school board, including the superintendent, as well as other board members, asking for this not to be brought forward. Now, while my opponent will say that she spoke to someone, that's great. Maybe it did. I know the superintendent was shut down on the request not to bring this resolution forward because fundamentally we're a governing body and you're disrespecting us. One. Two, it took me off guard because this resolution is not just about having more SRO officers. It clearly states requesting the Saratoga Springs Board of Education to reconsider its prior determination, yada, yada, yada. It's asking us, that's a clear statement, asking the school board to revote. There's no more discussion. That should never have happened. And so I will post this. And the other thing that I found interesting, now it's not up on the website, the city on September 5th had a press release that the school took the city up on their offer for more SRO officers and had a press release. When I brought this to the superintendent's attention, now we have to bring things to the board. We have to have a vote on it. And they read it and they said this was misinformation. So now we're putting misinformation out there and rewriting history. The press release was incorrect. I went on and I brought it to the school's attention, asking them to reach out to the city. And to me, that's just more political play. It's just a manipulation of what's happening. To put a press release out saying that the school is now on board with this resolution and hiring more SRO officers is incorrect. Mm-hmm. What we've done and what we asked for is when our school resource officer is on a break, whether it's on a vacation or a sick for the day, to have backup. So now there's going to be a police officer on the force who is also trained as an SRO officer, because they get special training so that they can fill in for the day or a couple of days that the full-time school resource officer is off. That is not hiring new school resource officers. That is just having someone who's trained to fill in. So again, this is misinformation and twisting the information so that it suits their
agenda.
Their agenda and their
well, they're truthfulness about what they're doing, and it like you said, it's a conflict. They are misrepresenting themselves, and by you telling exactly what it is, they're berating you almost and saying that's not correct. When you have the facts, you're on the school board, number one, so you know what's going on. It would be like the school board asking the council to take a revote on the code blue issue or something. Yeah. I mean, that's you just don't do things like that.
No.
I don't mean to put you in a spot. I know you don't sink to the level, and I realize that. But I think sometimes that we have to ask a question, and you may not want to answer it, but we're going to ask them, and you may not want to answer it because I think it goes to the overall outlook of how one campaign is acting and how the other campaign is acting. And I know you don't like to do this, but there are certain issues that are they're spreading around that I hear and other people. I was in a drugstore yesterday and I saw a girl I hadn't seen for 50 years. I went to school with her. And she lives in Saratoga now. You had gone to her house. And she said, you know, she's got my vote. What she talks about is what the citizens want to hear, is what I want to hear as a resident of Saratoga Springs. And so, you know, Pat had mentioned about the donors and about things that she's saying on Facebook and that. And if nobody holds her to it, then people start to believe it. Now, one of the things that I've heard going around is that as soon as you get in office, you're going to raise taxes, unequivocally raise taxes. Now, she has not raised taxes in 8 years, which I talked to a former mayor, and he said that that's totally ludicrous, that he's never been for a zero tax increase for that long. But she's been spending down our budget surplus to dangerous levels. And, you know, it's sad to think that we can go on for another 10 or 20 years the way we are now. The world changes and expenses go up, and you can't keep doing that. You've got to save money for a rainy day. Now, what do you feel about taxes? I mean, are you going to go into office and raise taxes by 15%?
No. Everybody, let's remember, I'm a taxpayer here myself. I am not running to raise taxes. I am not stepping. I will make a commitment to be as fiscally responsible as I should be in this office, which I will be. And I am not stepping forward to raise taxes. In fact, I'm stepping forward to make sure that we are better planning for our long-term future. Okay, and that we find sources of revenue for that. There's been a lot of discussion about the water hookup fees, and there's a lot of people out there know about it, and there's a lot of people out there that don't. And quite frankly, I have not run into one voter who appreciates the fact that we stopped a very lucrative program for the city of Saratoga Springs in the collection of water hookup fees, to transfer that cost over to the average taxpayer. And by that I mean, when the city in 2014 disbanded this water hookup fee, where we used to earn hundreds of thousands of dollars each year from developers each time they would go out and build a new project and need to hook up to the water line. They would pay a fee. This is highly appropriate. It's what other municipalities do. And quite frankly, when you go and get any new service, you pay a hookup, right? If you go get a new phone, you pay a startup fee, a hookup fee. And so in 2014, when it was brought to the city's attention that there were developers who were not paying and the ones that were upset, however it went down, there was a shutdown of that program because instead of course correcting and putting it back on track and charging all the developers, they disbanded the program. By doing that, we still need to collect this money. It is money that is used for not the regular general water fund. It's used for
Hold on, Carl. You're not on the air. Let her finish her statement here.
Yeah, it's me, Rick.
Okay, just hang on a second, okay? Go ahead. Go ahead, Patty.
Okay. So, sorry about that. We were interrupted.
No, that's okay. Yeah, we'll get him back on the air here
so,
in a minute.
So now we have transferred this money that we were collecting for, I look at it as almost like research and development, finding new water sources for our infrastructure. That money is now collected through a line item on the regular taxpayer's water bill. I think it's the line 3 or 4. And fundamentally shifting that cost. So now if you look at the new condos that are being built on West Avenue, when that builder goes out to the water line to hook up to it, they're not going to pay one red cent. It's being subsidized by everybody who has a tax bill.
Okay.
And we can bring that kind of program back. And that would that'd be a new revenue source and taking it off the backs of our taxpayers.
Okay, let me get this caller on the air. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. How are you? This is Dylan Moran.
Yeah, yeah, how are you?
Good. I heard water fees and my ears started ringing.
This is Dylan from candidate for Public Works. Go ahead, Dylan.
I think Ms. Morrison did an excellent job describing the situation and quite honestly, the depravity of the choices that this council made. It was not uniform. A couple of things I want to point out. Skip has made claims that it was a 100% vote. Quite honestly, he's so full of crap. It's getting tiresome, but Mayor Yepsen at the time voted against the elimination of the connection fees and it's in the imposition of a fee on the rest of us. Commissioner Frank and Mayor Yepsen voted no. So we have members of the current council who are not in the same boat as the rest of these folks. And there's also some people on the council who were not in power at that time to make that choice. But fact still remains is that's the way things are today. And they were using as recently as yesterday, the city council was putting forward a flawed and incorrect message stating that connection fees were illegal and unconstitutional. And that quite truly is a lie.
Okay.
It was recently just taken down from the city website because of continued statements by myself and by Ms. Morrison about the legality. And I would assume citizens starting to ask more questions about why our city council is using its power to lie to the community.
Okay. Thanks, Dylan, and we'll get to you next Saturday when you
Absolutely.
Have your show. Okay, thank you.
Let's make sure everybody votes for Ms. Morrison.
All right. Okay, thank you, Dylan. No, you're right. I think, you know, you talk about the building on West Avenue, the building next to the post office, too. That's a huge building over there. A lot of apartments, and without the water hookup fees, that's a lot of money. But here again, you can trace the old saying, all right, is follow the money.
Yes.
And if you follow the money, sometimes you can realize why decisions are made. That's how I feel. And again, we should have the water hookup fees reinstated. And I think to your credit, you're stating this right now. You're not waiting.
Well, and the other thing, too, Rick, I will bring up is the fact that we have uncollected taxes. Frankly, some of these taxes go back 10 years. It's inappropriate. A lot of this is commercial property. We're not putting people out of their homes. And I was actually speaking with an attorney the other day who deals with bankruptcies and collections and the such, and he pointed out that if such a thing happens here in Saratoga, he, with a client or someone, he's less concerned than he would be in Warren County, because in Warren County they collect the money. And so fundamentally we need to be tightening up these processes. So I am not running to increase taxes. I am running to bring a quality of life values back down to City Hall. Quite frankly, why are we just talking about recycling down at City Hall? There's some basic fundamentals that we're just haven't been doing. If nothing else, at least some of this stuff is starting to move forward, but I am not running to raise taxes. I am running to bring new sources when I can forward. In fact, I've been doing some research into grants. There is a plethora of grants out there, and I know we do have someone on staff who does grant writing, and she does a fabulous job, and I would like to even expand that more. I want to bring a nepotism policy forward. We certainly do not need to have our friends, our family working it down at City Hall. We need qualified individuals who are qualified to do the jobs that we need to have done. Someone asked me, how will I get my deputy commissioner? What will be my process for that? I will tell you fundamentally, it will not be someone who's worked on my campaign. It will not be someone that I know. It will be someone who is qualified for the job. The first step that I will look at doing is obviously the job description itself. From there, I will include the staff who's currently in that works within the department, as well as other members of City Council. I will do a cross-functional team interview process, and the best person for the job will be hired. That is how I roll. I am very principled. I do not do favors. I do not do backdoor deals. One of the other things as part of this process, I've heard over and over and over, the residents, they don't feel heard. Well, how can we have their voice heard down at City Hall? For example, with the whole garage initiative, there were a lot of residents who stepped forward with ideas, and they weren't heard. They were shut down. And I mean, we are ending up with a single purpose parking garage, but I'm not going to go down that path right now. But in general, what I want to do is I want to bring forward, and this is in concept right now, having town halls. So what I mean by that is not like a city council meeting where you go in, you make a statement, you have 2 minutes, the buzzer rings, and you sit down. I want to have a town hall type forum that will travel around the city, that will not be the full city council. It will be sponsored by a city council member for each of the different forums. They will be at different locations. We will invite some of the committees we have so many different committees. We have the open space committee. We have the senior committee. We will invite committees to be maybe the topic of discussion for a particular town hall setting. And we will have a dialogue as opposed to someone speaking for 2 minutes, getting buzzed out, and sitting down. It will be, that is one thing I want to do. My opponent talks about the website. First of all, websites, good grief. If you don't have a good website, and what is it, 2019? I personally think we have areas for improvement. I've done websites myself. Not personally. I've managed teams to have done websites. I think there's areas for improvement. But something that we need to do better is in communication. I would like to see an app, right? So you click on, other cities have it. You click on the app. You open it up. It tells you what's going on with parking that day, what's going on with the schools, the garbage removal. It's something that is how people communicate today. People aren't going to websites to look things up. People don't want emails. I know we can sign up for emails, but how about having an app on your phone? You click the button and everything that's going on down at City Hall pops up and is easily accessible. so that you know what's going on. I've actually talked to a student who would be willing to help us build an app. I don't know if that's possible. I probably have to go to a third-party source. But these are the types of initiatives I want to bring forward. When you have folks that sit in office for year in, year after, they're human. I mean, by nature, you get comfortable in your position. So I look at it as a positive for our community, and so do the voters, because that's the path we're going down.
You know, just a comment before Pat comes up, that he wants to talk about the sci-fi contract, but you're smart in these town hall meetings, because in this form of government, that's the only way you can really get a one-on-one with the citizens and hear their questions. Like you said, 2 minutes isn't enough to talk about at the meeting, but the town halls offer you as a commissioner, if elected, a way to sit down with the people and hear their concerns and bring them back to the council meeting. And they may get the 2 minutes, but you can, you know what they're thinking about. And just one other thing that you were you had mentioned that and it escapes me now, but I'm going to have Pat come up and talk about the sci-fi.
Old.
I'm getting old. I have to admit it. You know, the last year. I want Pat to come up so you can talk about the sci-fi contract that she's entered in. That's a little funny. Go ahead, Pat.
I don't know, Patty, if you spent a lot of time looking into the sci-fi contract, but it's a smart city initiative, which is, you know, what you want every city to do. You want smart city initiatives underway. But the particular process that your opponent followed is just, again, really, really difficult to understand. Number one, it borders on like a little bit of unethical behavior. But more importantly, it really puts the city in a tough spot for nearly 60 years. Now, I don't know about you, but the investment in any technology with a contract for 60 years is problematic. And I'd like to hear if you have any feelings on this sci-fi contract.
Sure. So actually, last week when I was walking, I happened to have a conversation with someone whose door I was at. He is an engineer. He read through the RFP. I wish I had my notes from that. I didn't realize this was going to be one of our questions, because he blatantly said the way the RFP was written is it was poorly, poorly written. This is his line of work. He and I are going to hopefully be chatting a little bit more and getting a little deeper into this. I think there's a misnomer out there, too, that this is going to be hooking up to all residents.
You're correct. It is not. They're going to develop a backbone, which will be your personal household. It's your responsibility to get to the backbone, mm-hmm. and that's through an internet service provider. And the city still does not know who the internet service provider Sci-Fi is recommending.
Yep. So it's my understanding that the process where this, and this gentleman spoke to me about this as well, you know, first of all, he said the RFP was not written well. And he also spoke to me about the service level agreements within the contract, which are really very, I mean, there's, you might as well not call it a service level agreement. And the fact that this was it's my understanding it was a two-step RFP process, and the first step with only getting one bid. I still can't believe that actually happened, because it's my understanding that's not the process.
That's
with
correct.
City Hall. And why would we fall outside the process with getting only one bid? I've worked years in the business world, large corporations. I mean, there's just no way that would fly. And apparently, you know, it shouldn't fly here either, because we have a policy that's different. However, we didn't follow it. So just so listeners understand, it appears the first piece of the RFP process was open for a few weeks, and there was one
over the Christmas holidays.
Yep. over the Christmas holidays and was only open, so short period of time, over a kind of a period of time where people aren't fully tuned in, even the businesses, and only one submission was received for that bid, and that's who was awarded the contract. So
they've been in discussion with each other, Michelle Madigan and Sci-Fi, since May of that year. So we're talking about a little bit of an inside job. And one of the other things to think about, as you mentioned, the service level agreement. Imagine living without internet service for 120 days, not 120 hours, 120 days. And that service level agreement is what we agreed to. And another stipulation in there is, in after 30 years, the relationship can be extended with only one party extending it, and that's Sci-Fi. So the city doesn't even get a chance to say whether they want to continue or not. Sci-Fi gets a chance to do that. So it's a really poorly written RFP. The process is flawed. And ultimately what ends up happening is it comes on the back of the taxpayer again.
Yeah. We have a caller, Patty, and I'd like to take the phone call. I unfortunately hung up on her, but she's calling back. So if you want to give a call back, we'll take your call now before we get into another big topic. So, but what I want to do before while she's trying to call back is, why don't you give your Facebook page and your website page so people can go to it? I think, you know, we've talked about it.
Sure. So, website is PattyMorrisonForFinance.com, and my Facebook page is the same.
And, you know, that's not too hard to forget, PattyMorrisonForFinance.com. And, you know, if we don't get the caller to call back in a second, you know, we'll go on to another subject here. What subject would you like to talk about next? I know you have a lot to talk about, and maybe we can talk about Code Blue and the Eastern Plateau EMS. I know you have some ideas about that. And as we said in the beginning of the show, it's never brought up until an election year. And, you know, I mean, nothing ever gets done. So yeah, I know you have ideas about that.
Yeah. So for the Code Blue, I am happy that we are going to have a location for our folks. It's my understanding we're going to be a month behind in opening it, which, again, why are we waiting until just a couple months before the need starts? Because by law, we have to be ready and up and running by November 1st. And why aren't we doing these things with better planning? I mean, that is definitely something that I will bring to the table. I'm very good at project managing and planning and timelines and looking at things long term. So with the particular location that this Code Blue is going to be at over on Adelphi Street, I have a concern with that street just fundamentally with regards to the truck traffic. So
I won't hang up on you.
I guess we're getting a
call. Yeah, let's get a caller because I do want to go back to this and I will remember what we're talking about. Hello, caller.
Hey, it's Nancy. I just wanted to jump in here. And, you know, before any of us put our applications for sainthood in the mail, I think we should hold off. And, you know, I get it. You know, Michelle's behavior, you know, everybody's accusing somebody of something. I get it. But I Michelle is qualified to do her job, regardless of whether I like her or not. Here's the issue I'm having with Patty. You know, 2 years ago, I was campaigning for a friend of mine. That friend is Matt Veach. And, Patty, I happened to be on your street. I had no idea who you were. I have no idea if you knew who I was. And you accosted me in a very hostile manner when I was on your street. And you told me not to go to your house, not to step on your porch. And I just thought that's pretty strange because you had to have known that you weren't on my list. So if this is how you treat complete strangers, and we're also neighbors, by the way, but I didn't realize that you were my neighbor until, you know, all this happened. So, you know, I just find it a little troubling that, you know, you're saying that you're not like your opponent, but yet you treated me in such an overtly hostile manner for no reason. So I just want to know why you would do that, and if this is how you deal with people that are on the opposite, you know, political spectrum, what makes you think that people are going to vote for you if you disagree with their viewpoint?
Okay. Thanks, Nancy.
What? Keep her on the line.
Oh, no, she can hear. She's on the phone. But one of the things I just want to qualify is that people think that there's only one person that can do a job. And if the person's not doing a job to the best of their ability, which I don't think Michelle Madigan is, and you have another qualified person that can run against her, why there's a small percentage of people that think she's the only one that can do their job? Well, if that's the case, we'll never have another finance commissioner in the history of Saratoga. And I have a problem with that. Go ahead and go to her point.
Is there a way to dialogue with her right now?
No. If you could call back, call her. She'd like to. Well, we usually take the call and have you respond. So we don't. Oh. We try. If you could call back again, because she'd like to get into a little back and forth with you. So if you could call back, Nancy.
Yeah, Nancy, if you can call back in.
But she'll call back in a second. Go ahead and maybe. Talk to the aspect of, this is what a person says. Obviously, I don't know. We have documented proof of what Michelle Madigan acts. I mean, you won't go down that way. I know that. But I have to say, we have documented proof of how Madigan treats a lot of people, kicking people out of council meetings, trying to have the police escort them out, yelling and screaming at her. The other commissioners. So I don't understand. Go ahead.
Yeah, I to be quite frank with you, I don't want to say that it wasn't me. So maybe she was speaking with me. I have a pretty good memory. I mean, I can remember a lot of the doors. And when I go back to a door, I can remember people and what they've told me. I don't recall having any incident in front of my house regarding Matt Veach. In fact, I just met Matt Veach for the first time at the plan fundraiser back in September that I went to. And I personally really like Matt Veach, and I think he's done good things. So I know that back in 2017, I didn't know him. I wouldn't discard anybody because of their political affiliation.
Right. Well, I don't know many Democrats or Republicans that don't like Matt Veach.
I can stand on my record of being professional. Obviously, everybody knows this whole school board issue with the grounds monitors and all that, and what's happened as a result with a lot of very contentious school board meetings. And I've always held myself in a very respectful manner. Mm-hmm. So if there, oh, good, she's calling back.
Nancy's calling back, but we only have 2 minutes to go. So, and I want you to close up. So,
sure.
Okay, hello, caller. And just to remember, we have about 2 minutes to go, and we have to have her close, so just keep that in mind. Okay.
No, Patty, that's completely disingenuous. Okay. You do remember the encounter. You're just pretending that you don't. It was right across the street from Marino's Pizza. I was about to knock on somebody's door. You pulled up in your car, got out of your car, confronted me, was all smiles until you got about 5 inches from my face, and then became an attack dog for no reason. I have no reason to make it up.
Okay.
You know, I don't even like Michelle.
Okay.
I haven't planned on voting for her. But this is completely disingenuous. I just made up my mind. Thank you so much.
Okay, Nancy. Thank
you. Sure.
Sorry.
I wish she had stayed on the line.
We don't have the time. And you know, Nancy really can get a hold of you if she wants.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, Nancy, I would have given her my number offline.
Well,
I did not.
We can give me your number. I'll get it to you. And I think maybe a face-to-face discussion with Nancy.
Yeah. So Nancy, if nothing else, you can at least go to my website, get my email address. I'm not trying to be disingenuous by any stretch. I do want to understand your concern. I mean, I hear your concern, so I do understand it. So,
I know. I think you should have a one-on-one with Nancy. Sure. She seems upset, and I think that's the best way to do it is to have a one-on-one. And like I said, there is so much documented proof on how Michelle treats people and her constituents and people on the council that is in plain sight. But Nancy's a good person.
Yes.
And she has a lot of devotion to Saratoga Springs, has a website inside Saratoga, and she's a very, very nice person, so I don't want to denigrate her at all. So I want you to wrap up, Patty, and give us your final thoughts.
Well, we're going into the final home stretch for the campaign season. Today actually is going to be the Fall Festival down in the heart of the city, so I invite folks to come down. Today actually starts early voting as well, and what's people may not realize about early voting is that your vote counts as a regular vote, not as an absentee type vote where it's counted only if needed. And I do bring to the table a strong business background. I will be very transparent. I've been very transparent on the school board. I'm not afraid to ask the tough questions. I'm not in the pockets of the developers. I'm not in the pockets of any special interest. I am truly stepping forward to give the community a voice down at City Hall. I've already, as I said earlier, I'm looking at how we can actually execute on that, because it's not just a campaign slogan. It's really, I'm stepping forward. I'm not a politician, I'm not an activist, I'm a citizen who wants to do the right thing by our community so that we can be vibrant going into the future. I'm not looking to raise taxes. I do believe I'm approachable. That's why I'm really hoping that Nancy and I can have a dialogue after today. And I am asking folks to look at the long-term future of our city and consider voting Morrison for Commissioner of Finance. I will bring a level of respect to the office and an approach that I think will benefit us in the long term with some long-term planning and some just really vibrant ideas to come forward. I am excited to serve as the next Commissioner of Finance.
All right. Well, thank you, Patty. And that's Patty Morrison for finance.com. And Nancy, I know I speak this way as well as I think Patty will, that everybody has an opinion. And nobody should take that opinion away from the person or just toss it aside. And I would hope that you would reach out to Patty, but you should respect everybody's opinion. And I feel that when we hear things, proof is in the pudding. And but you respect that person. I just want to make one comment before we go. Next Saturday, Dylan Moran, who is running for Commissioner of Public Works, will be on. And when I gave out the donor amounts and information, that's public record, and anybody can go to the New York State Board of Elections and click on campaign donations, and you can see every candidate. You can see what the donations were to their campaign. So it's not just something we pulled out of the air. And if you can't find it, just email me at rick@saratogabroadcasting.com.